Well, check this out. Green Day's coming to Australia. Awesome. Let me just jump online here and grab some tickets. What the f***? Dynamic pricing has finally wormed its way into the Australian live music scene, courtesy of Live Nation and its subsidiary Ticketmaster. Once a fixture in air travel and hotel bookings, the practice is now setting its sights on concert tickets. Because apparently bleeding fans dry just isn't enough. With Green Day's 2025 Australian tour as its latest victim, concertgoers are now facing seat prices as high as $500, all thanks to Ticketmaster's so-called in-demand pricing. But what exactly is in-demand pricing? Well, it's dynamic pricing dressed up in a fancy suit, a practice where ticket prices fluctuate in real time based on demand. It's a bit like watching the stock market while you're desperately trying to nab a seat for your favourite show, except instead of stocks, it's your hard-earned dollars evaporating before your eyes. Now the question is, do bands make money off this? Well look, as a musician myself, I can definitely understand the demand for trying to increase your revenue streams. Since the introduction of streaming and the loss of physical media such as CDs, a majority of an artist's income has to come from either digital sync licensing or live shows. So the question is, does this dynamic pricing help the band? Well, in short, yes, but not as much as you might think. Dynamic pricing has been marketed as a way for artists to earn more money by capturing the revenue that would otherwise go to scalpers. Now, Ticketek and Live Nation often claim that dynamic pricing allows for artists to price their tickets closer to true market value, ensuring that revenue ends up in the hands of musicians instead of the secondary market. Except for one thing. In Australia, while not illegal, ticket reselling is highly regulated. Most states don't allow for resale of tickets for more than 10% of its original cost. So how is this dynamic pricing model even legal? We've tried to approach the ACCC for comment on this, but as of time of recording, currently this model is perfectly legal in Australia. So while it's true to some extent that the artists do get a bigger cut of the market-driven price, artists really aren't in full control of these pricing mechanisms. The final price is often dictated by Live Nation's and Ticketmaster's algorithms, which respond to demand in real time, often with the sole goal of maximizing corporate profits. So while bands like Green Day may benefit from higher revenues thanks to dynamic pricing, it's really Live Nation that's the biggest winner. In this vertically integrated market, the artist is still at the mercy of corporate giants. Even when dynamic pricing claims to support them, the idea that dynamic pricing is designed solely to benefit musicians is an oversimplification at best, and at worst, another marketing spin for the corporate machine. So Green Day's 2025 Saviors Tour, ironically named given that the price gouging of their fans, recently rolled out tickets under this dynamic pricing scheme. General admission, a cool $200, if you're lucky. But you want a seat where you can actually see the band, be ready to fork out almost $500. Fans who once idolized Green Day's rebellious, anti-corporate roots now find themselves paying exorbitant sums to support a band that once played in dingy basements for next to nothing. And look, no hate on Green Day here, we all have to make a bit of money, and of course there's a lot of extra fees while coming to Australia, like insurance, travel, production, we don't have a massive market. But we always seem to be making the customer pay the extra fees. Now, Ticketmaster claims that this gouging isn't its fault, pointing the finger at the artists and their teams for setting prices, and it's all for the fans' own good, they say. Who wouldn't want to pay market value for their favourite tickets, of course? Look, let's not kid ourselves. This isn't some innocent pricing model responding to fair market demand. This is market manipulation in broad daylight. The concert ticketing business is controlled by a tiny handful of players, and Live Nation is the undisputed king. They own Ticketmaster, a massive share of the venues which the bands play in, and even manage some of the artists themselves, putting multiple hands in the same pie. They've essentially created this vertical monopoly over the entire music supply chain, with fans ultimately paying the price. And look, it's not just Green Day. Oasis fans in the UK saw prices for their reunion tour spike from £135 to a mind-boggling £355, while they were still in the queue. Australia's live music market is following a similar pattern of consolidation, and with local authorities like the ACCC slow to intervene, unlike their counterparts in Europe and the US, Live Nation and Ticketmaster are free to exploit Australian consumers with very little oversight. And look, bringing international acts to Australia is very expensive. Due to a combination of factors such as our geographic location means higher transportation and logistics costs, flying in artists, crew, equipment. Additionally, there are limited major cities to tour with a lot of distance between them. So artists must cover vast distances between shows, driving up travel and accommodation expenses. Venue and production costs are often higher compared to other regions, and with fewer opportunities to perform, acts need to charge more to cover their overheads and still make a tour profitable. Look, this all just adds up to higher pricing for Australian music fans. So where's the ACCC? The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, ACCC, have been characteristically silent on this one. Sure, they've acknowledged that dynamic pricing is legal, as long as it doesn't mislead consumers, but what constitutes as misleading? Apparently, it's not enough that prices surge while customers are literally trapped in the virtual waiting queue, waiting for their favourite band's tickets. The ACCC's stance doesn't really seem to account for the fact that in markets like live music, supply and demand aren't as flexible as they are in other industries that use dynamic pricing. Hotel rooms and flights have alternatives, but for a Green Day or Oasis concert, you've got one band, one shot, one opportunity. Would you take it? This isn't about giving fans fair access to tickets. It's about seeing how much blood can be squeezed from the proverbial stone before the people snap. Beyond the dollars and cents, there's a deeper issue at play here. Concerts are supposed to be shared cultural experiences, places where communities come together. They're supposed to be accessible. But with dynamic pricing, increasing costs, online fees, and so many more hidden extra costs, only those who can afford these prices are left standing. Everyone else, well, you're simply shut out. The current system prioritises profit margins over people, turning what should be an affordable cultural event into a luxury high-end experience. The cost of live music is becoming yet another marker of inequality. And if we're not careful, these shared experiences, these moments that shape our cultural identity, will be reduced to nothing more than an exclusive club for the super rich. So where do we go from here? What's the solution? Do we throw our hands up in the air and accept that dynamic pricing is the new normal? Well, I don't think so. If Live Nation's monopoly is too big to be challenged head on, then maybe it's time for the government to step in. Regulation doesn't have to be a dirty word. In the US, the Justice Department is taking Live Nation to court over their abusive market power. In the UK, regulators are investigating dynamic pricing practices. So, as usual, Australia is about 5 years behind the curveball on this one. And until bodies like the ACCC step up and protect consumer interests, we are stuck with a broken system where fans pay through the nose for a glimpse of their favourite artists. And as long as companies like Live Nation dominate every aspect of the live music market, don't expect the situation to be changing anytime soon. In the meantime, it might be a good idea to take up a second mortgage for Linkin Park or Metallica's upcoming 2025 tours.